Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad you've come to be with us this morning. Hope you'll come back and be with us every chance that you get. It's good to be back after a week of vacation. It's good to see everybody. And it's kind of the thoughts of this lesson. I know Wilson was talking last week about maybe the cruises of the Bible, and many of them did not end well. So I didn't want to talk about that today. I did not see a great fish, and no one got swallowed. But as we were traveling this past week, we started talking about past trips that we had been on and some experiences that we had had. When I was younger, our family would often go on vacations, usually every summer. And when I say family, it was usually the extended family. We're talking grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. And we would load up two, three, or more cars and try to keep up with each other along the interstate for 600 miles or so. And what you have to realize is, and some of these young people, you may not realize this, there was a time where there were no cell phones. You actually had to have a phone that was plugged in somewhere before it worked, and it wasn't just to charge it up. So there wasn't a way to really communicate between one car to the other. We did use text messaging, though. The original text messaging. You would write something on a piece of paper and drive up next to the car and put it up in the window. You know, y'all want to eat? You know. I guess that was the original text messaging. It's gotten much simpler since then. GPS was also not something that was there, and it wasn't a matter of if we were going to get lost as we traveled. It was a matter of, you know, when and how many times probably we would get lost. And it was a certainty that some point on the trip we'd be pulled over to the side of the road with a road map stretched across the hood and varying opinions about what it all meant. But traveling, you know, it was the adventure just getting there. Traveling wasn't always safe, still isn't, I guess, but I remember as a kid riding in the middle of the front seat on the armrest that you pull down, you know. So now kids have to be in car seats till they're like, what, 12 or something like that, but which was probably a better place than Greg or Tim was probably back in the back window laying asleep or something. It was another favorite place that we would fight over who got to ride there. But now we know better. Traveling's much easier. We have cell phones and GPSs, and it's almost impossible to get lost. Almost, I guess I could say. But as I thought about traveling, I thought about how we can apply that to our lives, because I think there's some many parallels that we can come up with here. As we think about our lives, our journey while we're here in this life, as we're looking for our eternal destination. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and as we read earlier, the scripture reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 11 also describes this concerning God's instructions to Abraham to go on a journey. He wanted him to travel. And as we read earlier from Hebrews 11, it tells us that Abraham went not knowing where he was going because he did that by faith. He did what God told him to do. And that was a reference back here to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, where it tells us the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." You know, this was not an easy thing for Abraham to do. God tells him, "I want you to go on a trip. I want you to travel. I'm going to direct you along the way. Right now, you just need to pack up and go." And so we see that it wasn't something that was easy for Abraham to leave the comforts of home. It wasn't an easy thing for Abraham because danger was out there and uncertainty was out there as well. He didn't even know where the Lord was sending him. But we see the faith of Abraham as it was described for us there in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he did that. He obeyed. And I find it amazing how Abraham didn't even question God. He just did it. He didn't ask any questions. How often are we guilty of having questions about what God has planned for us? You know, God has a plan for us just like He had a plan for Abraham. But many times we fail to just obey and just trust and just have that kind of faith that Abraham had. where God was sending Abraham would ultimately lead to the promised land for the Israelites. And we see the descendants of Abraham would ultimately have that. And, you know, we think of the promised land as really symbolic of prosperity and blessings. And what God was wanting to do, He was wanting to take Abraham from where he was to where God needed him to be. He was wanting Abraham to go from the place that he was to the place where He could use him to fulfill the purpose that God had for him. That's what God was wanting Abraham to do. And that's the reason He needed him to go. You know, that's what God needs from us today as well. He has a purpose for us, and we need to go from where we're at to where He needs us to be so that we can fulfill that purpose and that plan that He has for us. If we fast forward a few generations from Abraham after Israel is free from Egypt and they're wandering in the desert, they're grumbling and they're complaining and they lack faith. Moses is dead, and now Joshua is in charge. And if you look over in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, it says there that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. God says, I want you to take a trip. You're going to cross over the Jordan. And there's something that's great on the other side. And we continue to read in verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness into this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. There's that promise to Abraham. And then verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Stay on the right road, is what God's saying there. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Picture Joshua standing on a hillside near the Jordan River, looking out and wondering, how am I going to do this? How am I going to lead these grumbling, complaining people? Well, God had already figured out how He was going to do it. And He tells Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Don't be discouraged. I'm there for you. And all Joshua had to do was trust and have faith and keep his heart open to the plan of God, and he was going to be able to accomplish what God's purpose was for him. Joshua was leading the Israelites to the abundant life in Canaan. As we look at ourselves, Jesus is leading us to an eternal life in heaven. And as we journey through this life, we may sometimes ask some questions, as we said before. You know, maybe we wonder, well, will there be trouble along the journey? Well, we're told that there will be. It's not always going to be easy. In John 16 and verse 33, Jesus spoke words to encourage His disciples. And He says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You know, it wasn't always going to be easy. It wasn't always easy for Moses when he was leading the Israelites. It wasn't always easy for Joshua when he was leading the Israelites. But the Lord told him, be courageous. I'll be there for you. Isn't that the message that Jesus is giving us in John 16 and verse 33? It's not always going to be easy for us as we're traveling as well to our promised land, if you will. But He says, take courage. I've overcome the world. I'm going to be there for you to get you through it. And so we have that encouragement that, yes, it always won't be easy, but at the same time, we have the Lord that will be there for us. In Matthew 10 and verse 22, Jesus describes to His disciples that, again, it was going to be tough. And he says there, you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end that will be saved. As we're traveling along, we're going to have people that are not going to like us because of the stand that we take for the truth. A little bit later in Matthew 24 and verse 9, Jesus adds this to his disciples as he tells them, then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Later on, if you look in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul describes all that he went through. As he was really fulfilling what Jesus is saying to the disciples here, and all of those were hated and persecuted and went through various tribulations because of their stand for the truth. And Paul describes in detail the things that he went through in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. He says, "And are they servants of Christ? I speak as insane. I more so in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received the Jews 39 lashes, from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on a frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been labors and hardships through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure of me, of the concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led to sin without my intense concern?" It wasn't easy. The road was tough. It was rough. Paul experienced a lot of problems along the way. What kept him from throwing up his hands and saying, "It's too much. I can't make it. The trip's just too hard. I can't stay on this road. I can't travel anymore." Well, it brings us to the next question. Is the destination worth the journey? Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 at what Paul says. After he'd gone through all these things, we know that he was persecuted, that he was facing all these problems that he had. He says in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead." Now, when you go on a vacation, there's usually something desirable about the place that you're going. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to go there. We want a vacation where it's nice and something fun to do. It's something that was going to be relaxing and we're going to enjoy. And so that's the appeal of doing that. And if there's no appeal to it to us, it's not worth traveling for, is it? You know what Paul says, even though he went through the rough times on his journey, on his road of life, it was well worth it because he knew where it was headed. He knew the destination was great. He knew that it was well worth any problems that he was going to face along the road. You know, Jesus has prepared a place for us, and He has traveled there already. And He promises us that we can journey to that place as well. And the journey's not always going to be on nice, smooth roads. There's going to be some bumps along the way. But it's well worth it to make it to that destination. In John 14, Jesus describes that place for us, that He has gone to prepare for us and that He is in that place now. And He tells us He's traveled there and we can travel there too. He tells us in John 14 and verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do you know the way?" How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. As we see, Jesus has prepared that place for us. It's a great destination to be going to. And anything that we face along the way that's rough, it's worth it because of the destination to which we're going. Revelation 21 describes heaven as a place where God dwells among His people, as a place where He will wipe every tear from their eye, where there is no sorrow, where there is no death, where there is no pain. It's an eternity of being with God. It's a place more beautiful than we can imagine. Sounds like to me the journey's worth it. Sounds like to me that the journey is well worth that final destination. You know, the next question we may ask then is, well, how do I get there? That was the question really Thomas was asking there. How do we get there? Jesus says it's through me, is what his answer to that was. I am the way. I am the truth. That's the way to get there, is through Jesus. We have to ask for directions to get there. We have to ask, how do we get there? And those directions must come from God. God will direct us to there. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. This is where we have problems sometimes. We don't want to listen to God telling us how to get there. We want to figure it out on our own. And Jeremiah says, we can't do that. We can't figure this out on our own. We have to listen to what God tells us to do if we want to make it there. We have to let Him direct our steps. James chapter 1 and verse 5, James tells us that God is willing to give us the things that we need, but we have to seek that wisdom from God. And he says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Through obedience to God and making a commitment to serve Him and asking Him for the wisdom to lead us to that place, we can make it. We have to make that commitment, and we know then that that commitment will be rewarded because God has promised us such. And when God makes a promise, we know that He's going to keep it. We'll go back to the Old Testament again, to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and beginning in verse 6. And again, we see these words of encouragement to be strong and to have courage as we go about our life. And that was the message here as well. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people in the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. As we travel to our promised land, we have to be strong and courageous, knowing that God is there. We have to be strong and courageous to serve God, knowing that He will stand with us, that He will stand for us, and that He's never going to forsake us. And even though there's going to be some rough times and some bumps across the road, we know it's worth it. And we know that we can make it because God is there with us. You know, something else I thought about as well. When you travel and you come back home, isn't it a great feeling though? Yeah, I know it'd been nice to have a few more days of vacation. Usually we all think that. But there's something about coming back home and the comforts that it is. It's always good to come home. There's just something special and comforting about that. And the times I've traveled outside of the country, and you come back and you have to go through the customs and all that kind of stressful thing. But one of the things that I always remember, the customs agents always say, welcome home. And it's a great feeling to hear those words. You know, we may have our problems in this country, but we do realize as well that we are probably more blessed than any other people in the world today. And it is that sense of patriotism that you feel when you know that even though, as I said, we have our problems in this country, we're greatly blessed and with the freedoms that we have. And when we consider just being a citizen of this country and calling it home, it does feel good when you hear those words, you know, welcome home. And you know that you're back. You know, as Hebrews described Abraham as a pilgrim. And 1 Peter 2 says that we're pilgrims and sojourners in this world. This is not our home. And as good as it feels to hear someone say, welcome home when you come back home, I want you to think for a moment how wonderful it's going to feel when our journey here in this life is over. Think how wonderful it's going to feel when we hear God say to us, welcome home. What a wonderful feeling that will be. Beyond anything we could really imagine now until that moment comes. Is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth the trip to get there. The destination awaits us. And it's a chance for us to make it home, to where we belong. We sing, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And indeed, this world is not home to us. We're seeking something better. We're seeking our eternal home with our Father. The question this morning is, are you on the road that leads home? Are you following the way that God directs? Now, if you've not started that journey, you can this morning. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, be baptized, and begin that journey of serving God and make that commitment to Him this morning, knowing that He's going to be with you even when the road gets rough. That He's going to be with you and you can be strong and courageous and endure and make it through. And ultimately we'll finally make it home. Maybe you've done that and you've gotten lost along the way. And you've gotten off the road that you need to be on. And you need to come back and repent and ask God to forgive you and get back on the right track. If we can help you, we encourage you in any way. We stand ready to assist you. And we hope that you'll respond while together we stand and sing.